Back here now on the Ciroc Point after the Saints going down in the preseason finale 30-27 to the Tennessee Titans. Great news, preseason play is a wrap. And Cajun Cannon, what are your biggest takeaways from this game? I know there was a lot of excitement actually in the Dome today.
Excitement? That play right before half, that was a highlight of preseason. That might be the highlight of any preseason game in the NFL. I mean, that'd be a good trivia thing. I don't know. They tackling preseason or regular season.
Yeah.
You get a 106-yard return and it's not a touchdown. That'd be like, oh, it's a trick question. It's a trick question. How can that be? And, you know, when you break it down. Now, that's a case in point. Now, I'm just talking about this one play. That's a case in point because, look, they're going for a 58-yard field. It goes like 58, 59 in that range. That could happen. Remember when Auburn beat Alabama?
Everyone, yeah, that kick six.
Yes, so I'm telling you, like, when we, it seems like, even Groupie, though, when we missing 58-yarders, or let's say Smith kicking a 58, 60-yarder, and it's not short. It just maybe not be straight enough, but right. It's not going to be short, so they have an opportunity to return it. Now, Samson Nakua, boy, there was a bear jumping on his back at the end. What did he end up running, like 150 yards, they said, or something? How you going all over?
Right, weaving all over the place.
But like Coach Allen said, I don't care if they block or don't block, you can't let a damn lineman stop you. So you got to give kudos to that big old tackle from the Titans for forcing them to step out of bounds at the three-yard line.
Real quick for you, ESPN's Cat Terrell had this, Bobby. Among the longest non-scoring plays in NFL regular season history, Percy Harvin had a 104-yard kick return in 2011 that didn't result in a touchdown. Amir Abdullah, another 104-yard kickoff return in 2015 for Detroit against Green Bay. And then a guy we know, Marcus May, 104-yard interception return in 2018 for the Jets against Denver that did not score.
Right. So that would have been the record. It's preseason because it would have been 106.
Yeah, not a record.
It'd been 109.
Samson
Nakua would have been 109 because it was like, I don't know, you can't have 110 return. Hurt Charlie, I don't think you can. You're out in the end zone.
Right.
Or something. But no, that was very entertaining. I was entertained by that. Now, I take the approach, I don't know, I think fans would, listen, we like tackle football. But I like tackle football games that count. And the players are going to adjust because the owners are going to pay them. It's going to 18 games. The collective bargaining agreement between the players and the owners. I think we'd all... it's not going to be 100%, but I think the majority would want like 18 regular season games and only two preseason games. I just like the number 18 better than 17. You know, and it's like, oh, one year you have more home games and away games and all that. No, you can balance things out. I guess that's just all I think. OCD, whatever, like, no, 17, that's not a good number when you're trying to do scheduling. It has to be 18. So that's another topic. But I think eventually it will get to that. Now, Steve, I told you this too. I said this in the pregame. The NFL loves parity. Well, you can't get more even than this. The Saints and the Titans, they used to be the Houston Oilers, but the Tennessee Titans now, but the Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans, that franchise, they played each other 31 times in the preseason. This is crazy. It's 15-15-1. We've won 15 games, they've won 15, and we've tied one. And I said this, another memorable worthless exhibition number in my head. Memorable exhibition contest between these two clubs. It was the Houston Oilers, but it's still the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, we refurbished the Caesar Superdome, getting ready for the Super Bowl. Well, do you know these two franchises opened the Louisiana Superdome on August the 6th, 1975. Boy, how time flies. So they actually, these two teams, these two organizations, two franchises you saw today, they opened up the Superdome back in August of 1975. Now looking at the game, it was a shootout. Steve, I think you got something going with that. About if they play three preseason games, the first two, if you want to bet, now I'm not encouraging you to bet, but if you want to, the first two games, take the under and then quit while you're ahead.
I was going
to
say, why I mention that now? It seems like all these overs have been coming in for the preseason third game.
Yeah, and it held true. It was a shootout. That'd be a very entertaining regular season game, 30-27 instead of 17-13. Now, for us to win the regular season, we don't need to be in this kind of game. We don't need our defense to give it up no 30 points. Again, I tell you, 19 or 20 points, shame on our offense if we don't win. That's how I think we built. That's how I think this year we're going to win.
Well, I kind of asked you in the beginning, obviously, when that was going on in the start of the game, how can you really grade things when it's their first team offense going against our second team defense?
No, and the Titans are 3-0 in the preseason. That don't mean anything. The Titans might be 0-3 to start the season. You don't know. That doesn't matter. Now, I think you want to win because you just feel better about yourself in the locker room and no grab ass and going around. You know, everybody's more focused. Be a pro and stuff. But we have not been a pro on offense. And what I mean by this, with all the quarterbacks on third down.
Right.
How you controlling the tempo of the game, and it's a direct reflection. The Titans had the ball almost 12 minutes more than the Saints today. You know, and I think we got to be able to control the ball. Now we got to be able to run. At the beginning of the game, I don't know, Mims, 0 yards. Robinson, 0 yards. That's never good when you're not going forward. Now, you don't want to be going backwards, but you want to at least go forward, not get 0 yards. But you look on third down, not good at all the whole preseason. Like today, we were 3 of 10, 30%. Well, coming into the game, we were 23%, 6 of 26. So that has to be addressed about what we're doing on third down offense. Now, we have run the ball better. You look, we had a 5.2-yard average, even though we gave up 4.5. You know how we were giving up 4.5 and only gaining 3.5? Well, we were at 5.2, so at least that benefits us. Now, I think this could be critical and didn't really show in the preseason because, you know, one thing, we hadn't been in games. Nobody was turning over the football. Whether it's interceptions or fumbled, like we came into the game, we were minus one.
Right.
Minus one for the preseason is only two games, but now after three games, we were plus one today, so we zero. And, you know, we ended up plus 11 in that turnover margin. So I think that makes a difference, and I think that'll play out. Now, penalties, you know, we were good. 6 for 42, Dennis Allen would take that any day of the week. In a regular season game. So we weren't good in the Cardinals game. That was the one where we had 9 penalties, I think.
It was the first one, too. So
So we've been good, though. We've been good. Right. And I would expect us to be in this range against Carolina, where it's not affecting us. You know who was not good in penalties? And I've been a fan of his because I think he's the best basketball player on the Saints team.
Well,
don't play basketball.
He better start dribbling.
Michael Jacobson.
Yeah.
I mean, he's... He's really, you know, 6'8", but he put 6'7", because 6'8", might be too tall for a football player. You know, he played in Europe and all that. But anyway, no, he had 2 targets. He dropped a pass, and I want to say he had for sure 2, I think 3 penalties.
I think it was 3, too, yeah.
Yeah, so that's not good for him. Now, he's a practice squad kind of guy, but you see him in practice that he really did good in the red zone, be a big red zone target. To score a touchdown. So Michael Jacobson had nothing to write home about. You know who had something to write home about? The Rattler. Spencer Rattler, he had that one drive, I tell you what, 9 plays, 70 yards, 4 minutes, 22 seconds. That pass to St. Brown, that 21-yard, I tell you, I said, that is a beautiful pass. Now, you showed me somebody tweeted or texted or tweeted.
Yeah, it was on Twitter. Derek Carr could never make that throw.
No, if he's...
That's what a pro quarterback does.
Yes. No, he can make that throw. Listen, if you're an NFL starter, I would expect Spencer Rattler to make that throw. I would expect every quarterback that's dropping a dime. You know, I always say, oh, did you drop a dime? No, that's what you have to do. So that was a beautiful pass by Spencer Rattler to St. Brown for 21 yards. Spencer Rattler ended up with 118 total yardage, quarterback rating of 106. If you look, you know he can extend plays with his feet only a couple of times. He had a long gain of 8 yards. He was 7 of 13. Like I said, that quarterback rating of 106. I don't know, A.T. Perry, 2 out of the 3 games, he's been ahead of the stat sheet. You know, explosive plays, like big plays. Remember he had that long game against the Cardinals right before the half when we got a field goal? We had a 43-yard gain. Now, he went 4 for 4 on targets and catches, but he had 2 catches on 4 targets, and he had a long of 43. I thought St. Brown did good, play well. 4 targets, 3 catches. He had a long gain of 21 on that touchdown pass, and he ended up with 40 yards.
Yeah, it's nice to finally see him really starting to stand out.
Yeah, yeah. Taking advantage of the opportunity, I thought Raging Cajun, Kabote. I think
you probably heard Charlie cheering in the dome for those touchdowns.
Well, yeah, he's on the practice squad,
right?
And you know that means you get paid and you can develop. So he took advantage of his opportunity this game. If you look at it, he had 59 yards on 12 carries, average 4.9, but that's 5 yards a carry. He had a long gain of 14 and a couple of touchdowns. I think Jordan Mims also, if you look, like Kabote Friend just had 72 total yards. He caught one pass for 13 yards, so he had 17 total yards from scrimmage. Mims had 47 total yards from scrimmage. Now, Mims averaged 6.6, so that's 6.5 yards a carry. He had a long gain of 11 yards. Then look at Robinson. We ran all the top three backs.
Right.
4.9, 6.6, 4.7. So one 2.8, 3.2 average per carry. So that to me is like, again, who you blocking, who you playing against, that does make a difference. But at least that's training in the right direction. What are you gaining average in per carry to sustain those drives? Now, again, we got to get better on third down. But if we don't make it on third down and we got to punt on fourth down, our punters were terrible today. Does anyone want to win the job? If I look at Hayball or Lou Headley, the veteran. Now, you can't look at that. That's what I said. You had, I think, the net, we were 30-something yards, like low 30s. That's terrible.
Net punting average 32.3 for the Saints.
That's terrible. If you want to be amongst the best, and I notice the drive of special teams coaches crazy, you want to be amongst the best in the league, how about you have your net about 42, about 10 yards more? Now, you look, Hayball averaged 48.5 yards a punt, Headley 45 yards. No, you have to look at the net. You know why? Because look at the return. You look at Jackson for the Titans. He had a long gain of 12 yards, but he averaged 9.5 yards. And then Garra, G-A-R-R-O-R, he averaged 19.5. He had a long gain of 22. No, Steve, you're like a Pro Bowl or All-Pro returner if you around 14 yards of punt return. So that got to be driving Coach Rizzi crazy.
Charlie pointed out, too, Garra, another former Raging Cajun.
I tell you what, he took advantage of two returns, getting that long gain of 22 and 19.5. But that'll drive Coach Rizzi and Galliano crazy. Because, again, we got to excel and build upon what we did last year. We were number one in the NFL in punt coverage. We only gave up 5.5 yards per return, not 9.5 or 19.5. Anytime you're giving around double digits, Coach Rizzi probably would say, no, we got to be like 7 yards or less as far as the punt return. Now, if you look in the preseason, I think he's a solid backup. He's not quite there. Pete Werner and Double D, DeMarco Davis don't have to worry about their job. And if you're thinking about Gay, but I think he's a pro. He's going to get better. He always contributes on special teams, that being Anthony Orgy. Now, he led the team again in tackles. He had 9 total tackles. He had 4 unassisted tackles. Now, in the preseason, he has 20 to lead the team. He has 20 total tackles for the preseason. Now, Andrew Dowd, that name might be familiar. The special teams ace who came over Michigan State. We originally got him from the Cowgirls, and then he came to the Saints. That being Dowd, that he blew out his knee. He was last year we always expect JT Gray to lead the team special teams tackles.
Right.
And then when Dowd being out, DeMarco Jackson took advantage of that and was second on the team. Well, Dowd, when he was playing, he was one. Who's the guy from North Texas State, the linebacker? It's slipping my mind. Who wasn't on the team anymore, and because kind of how you pass in the torch, he was one of the team leaders.
No, Craig Robertson.
Craig Robertson. Thank you, Steve. Craig Robertson.
Took my brain a little thing, too.
Okay, no, it's going to be that progression. Who's the new Craig Robinson? Then, okay, Andrew Dowd, then who's the next? Well, DeMarco Jackson took advantage of that. I think RG on special teams also. But look at Dowd today. He just got in the team now. He knows what we're doing on special teams.
Right.
And defense. But, okay, who you think led the team in special teams tackles? He just got here Friday, coming back from a major knee. Dowd. He had two special teams tackled, one and assisted, led the team. You know, to me, I know for sure I'd be shocked. You know who's the new version? I don't think he's on that level, though. You know who's the new version of Isaac Yiadom? Bobby, who's Isaac Yiadom? He's the Ghana African that went to school in Boston College.
Yeah, now with the Niners.
Yes, with the Niners. And he was doing well, possibly starting, could maybe start or be in that rotation. Then he got hurt. And he was one of those players that were hurt. But the new version, the poor man, Isaac Yiadom, is Rico Payton.
Rico
Payton from Pittsburgh State. I tell you what, that dude's for sure on the practice squad. He should be on somebody's practice squad for sure. He's taking advantage of every opportunity he had. They even sent him on to rush the passer and got a sack today. He's the only one with an individual sack, Rico Payton. He had two unassisted tackles, and he led the team by far in passes defended for preseason. He had five, and guess what? He also had a special teams tackle. So I look, you know, looking like dark horses. I look like Anthony Orgy is not dark horse, but I look at Rico Payton and what he's able to do, and a guy like Kabote. All you could do is take advantage of the opportunity.
Exactly.
And the coach. But you know what didn't happen? And I said this in the pregame. And Coach Allen says we know what we know for sure. As anyone could say that, you know, when there's competition. Oh, for sure, that guy's starting off first now. What I mean, like tackle. No, Penning has gotten better. He's competing. But now the bullets are going to fly for real come week one against Carolina. I mean, you got to have a short leash. No. He's getting whooped. So when I look at all that, there's no – when the coach – now, the coaches know because they grade everything. They film everything, practice, and all the games and all. But it was no one – like, they would wish, like, I think Kool-Aid would have been like that, but then he got hurt. You know, that's why, Mason Tipton.
You're talking about the safety spot or no?
No, it could be any position. Okay. That, let's say a young guy tried to catch the coach's eye and you could possibly be a starter. Mason Tipton. Then what happened to him? All of a sudden he got hurt. And then you look at practice. He was unbelievable. Mason Tipton, Kevin Austin Jr.
Right.
I mean, you look at and Bud Means is off to a good start. Then he got hurt. But you can look at a number of positions where it's not really that they just took off. I can tell you right now, like just numbers-wise, if Kool-Aid McKinstry would have Rico Payne's numbers, we're putting him in the Pro Bowl as a rookie. No, I'm just think what I'm saying. Now, think about Rico Payne's having to play no Lattimore, no Paulson Adebo, all the snaps Rico Payne's taken. Now, all the preseason, look at the numbers he put up. If Kool-Aid McKinstry would do that, we got the best cornerback in the draft. They might put him not only Pro Bowl, but all pro. I'm exaggerating, but you know the point I'm making. So I'd say who really got the coach's attention? I would say Rico Payton. From Pittsburgh State, not the Pittsburgh Panthers in the Big East. Notice this Pittsburgh State. I want to say they're like a Division II powerhouse, so they show you they'll find you wherever you're at. So, but I really didn't see, like I said in the pregame, that when you look at, like Coach Allen, when he's trying to break down, and I got this somewhere. Anyway, I'm going to find it. No, about the statement he made about wanting players. To really step up.
Take the bull by the horns.
Yeah, okay. This is what he had said. And I didn't really see this. Okay. When you look at the Saints, this is for me now. When you look at the Saints players trying to make a positive impression on the coaches, this is what Coach Dennis Allen said, and this is when he said it best. Much like I've said in some of the other position battles, you know, like who bull by the horns, other position battles, that we're not quite settled on yet. I'm still waiting on the one guy, no matter the position, that is going to jump out at me. Or even can jump out at the media or jump out at the fans and say, this is my freaking job. I'm the starting tackle or I'm the starting safety. No, that's me. I'm the man. Who has that swag? Well, I don't know. Did we see that today? And like Coach Allen said, when it happens, we're all going to know. We're all going to see it. I'm still waiting for that moment. Well, the season's here, so it might. So I don't know. It's constant evaluation the whole off season, practicing the games. So it'll be interesting to see. You might have to put the starting lineup, even though before you know we'll be playing Carolina. On certain positions, you might have to have it in pencil instead of ink. So you know old school how you can erase it? You get that eraser, and then you put another player in there. So it'll be interesting to see, because I think it could be by committee at safety with Tyrann Mathieu, because Will Harris wasn't so dominant. Jordan Howden.
I was hoping to see a leap from him.
Will Harris, Jordan Howden, who's the other one? Names live on mine.
Jonathan Abram.
Jonathan Abram, yeah. Number one draft pick from the Raiders. You know, they all have their strengths and they have their weaknesses. So
if you combine them all, it'd be great.
Yeah, that you clone that safety. Denny's all pro. Denny might be partially that guy that ended up signing with the damn Falcons, Justin Simmons.
Justin Simmons, right.
Yeah, so that's where we're at right now. All I know is, before you know it, 2 weeks are going to be here. A lot of us might be interested in, Labor Day weekend, the Fighting Tigers against the USC Trojans.
Yes, indeed.
But all of a sudden, it's going to be Saints week, and we play in Carolina. It's 2-for-1. It's a division opponent, Carolina Panthers. I can tell you what. I'm not going to say we're going to burn the city down. We got to be 1-0. We cannot lose to Carolina. There's no way. If you want to have hope, we got to be 1-0 after the Carolina game.